Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. We're finishing up our look at Affordable Housing Week here on In Focus with the MPP for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lake, Steve Clark, who is also the Minister for Municipal Affairs and Housing. Mr. Clark, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Bob. Thanks. Thanks for engaging again. This is really important topic for Ontarians.
You've always been very open when you come on Lake 88, and I'm thoroughly expecting the same here. We've talked about this briefly recently with the introduction of the More Homes for Everyone Act, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But first and foremost, thank you very much for doing this, sir. You're a frequent guest here on Lake 88, and it's always nice to have you on to speak to your constituents.
And thanks. I really think this is important conversation, and I want to thank you and Lake 88 for always being there for the people in my riding and also in Lanark County. So just thanks for all you do.
No problem. When we talk about Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark, there's two issues that come up all the time. One of them is rural internet and getting connected, and then the other one is it was affordable housing, but it seems to have morphed more into affordability overall. We're talking about the housing portion of that today, because you know what good is high speed internet if you don't have a home to put it in, and so this is no doubt going to be a major issue in the upcoming provincial election. Recently, the More Homes for Everyone Act was introduced by the government. We're speaking about that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what it does to address the problem?
Sure. And as part of our government's plan, we tabled the More Homes for Everyone Act. And actually last week, our government passed the legislation. It's a set of very smart, targeted measures that make processes work better. They make them work faster. They help more Ontarians find a home that's right for them and their family. It's a great piece of legislation, and it really builds upon our 2019 Housing Supply Action Plan, More Homes, More Choice. So, you know, the biggest issue that I think many Ontarians want to talk about is housing affordability. And our housing supply crisis in Ontario, it affects all Ontarians, no matter your background or your budget. That's why a key pillar in More Homes for Everyone was to make it easier to build more affordable housing. And this is why we did the Housing Affordability Task Force, but almost immediately, Bob, after we presented that task force, even before we tabled More Homes for Everyone, we got an immediate negative pushback by municipalities that they felt that the Housing Affordability Task Force recommendations were too bold. They were worried about implementing them. So our government went back and we actually looked at the 2019 Housing Supply Action Plan and did a deeper dive and found that many of the suggestions and pieces that we added to that piece of legislation hadn't been implemented yet by municipalities. So we've got to find a way to incent municipalities to get shovels in the ground faster. And we also have to acknowledge, and I've done many times, that the housing supply crisis is a long-term strategy. It requires long-term coordination and collaboration between all three levels of government. So you're never going to be able to implement a housing supply policy carte blanche without making sure that all of those levels of government are in sync. And you know, I'm encouraged by some of the things I've been hearing at the federal level with their recent budget, but it's still unclear on how their initiatives are going to fit in with ours. So we're going to stick to working with our municipal partners. And this whole issue of housing supply is going to be critical. We've also done some things on the affordable housing side on some of the community housing projects. We've given municipalities more money, more leeway. We're working with the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness. So I think we've got a really good plan on the community housing side. It's the market housing side. It's the conditions that get shovels in the ground faster that I think the government is going to have to continue to focus on. It's not, you know, it's great that I got the bill passed last week. It's great that we passed a bill in 2019, but I'm realistic. And if we are going to have that long-term strategy, we're almost going to have a bill every year of a Doug Ford government where we're able to continue to make changes positively to create that environment where more houses can get built. of all types. It's not just single family. It's family size condos. It's apartments. It's the missing middle. You know, duplexes and triplexes. It's new innovative types of housing like tiny homes. We need all types of housing in all corners of the province. It's a long term approach. And sorry to ramble on so much, but it's important that the task force report, even though we're not implementing some of the recommendations, we're taking and using that task force report as our long-term strategy. So it's to make sure that municipalities are on board. We're going to continue to consult. We're going to establish a housing supply working group for this summer. We're going to do a deeper dive on rural and northern housing. And we're also going to explore this concept of multi-generational communities, like using gentle density in neighborhoods. So there's a lot of things going on. We're just not going to rest on the fact that I got a bill passed last week. There's much more work that we need to do as a government.
When it comes to supply, and that's a word you used many, many times, is that the, I guess, I don't want to say the solution. I want to say the starting point when you do talk about, you did mention social housing in there, but things like accessible housing and especially in your writing and in ours, the issue of housing for seniors. Because it, when we talk about affordable housing, there's so many different groups that it affects. So how does the More Homes for Everyone Act, which you called part of the plan, so it's okay if you talk about other parts of the plan as well, address those specific things, senior housing, social housing, and accessible housing?
Yeah, we've got to create an environment, Bob, where, you know, not-for-profits and proponents of seniors housing have an environment where they feel the government is listening. I did an announcement around the time we introduced the bill in Vaughan, where I had this beautiful provincially owned site, surplus land, close to transit. So we've given that piece of property up to a nonprofit, and we've done it in a very open and transparent manner. So if there's a group in that city that wanted to build a new seniors home, they know that there's a 4-acre parcel of land close to shopping, close to transit, close to public amenities that's available. If there's a group, you know, and I know there's many nonprofits in that area that wants it for a particular type of person who needs assistance, like a senior or someone who needs those extra type of transitional housing supports, that they can bid on that property. And since then, Bob, we've had a tremendous take up. People have called us and said, hey, the province has got a 5-acre site in my city or my town or my township. You know, could that be available? I said, sure. You know, sure. We're going to take every tool that we've got. We've also put more money into homelessness prevention. We just added $25 million extra. We just announced that there was a cost-shared program, phase 5 of our social services relief fund. We're working with the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness to create this by-name list so we can create wraparound services of those people who want to access the community housing system. And in total, we've spent nearly $1.2 billion for supportive and affordable housing. I know in my own riding, in Leeds-Grenville, we've provided $6.7 million just in the last 2 years over and above some of our other funds. So there's a lot of money in the system. I just think we need to not discount any opportunity that's out there. So if there's a group that wants to build seniors housing, we need to say, how can we help you? And municipalities need to do the same. So it's not a one and done. It's a plan that we've got to keep building upon.
Is that sort of the same formula that you would look at when we talk about rural housing? Because obviously your riding, Leeds-Grenville and up in Lanark here, certainly that is exactly where we're talking about this issue. And it's quite different when you look at it through that lens versus one in, say, downtown Ottawa or Toronto or even Brockville.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the government is going to start a consultation on rural and northern housing opportunities. And as well, you know, I want to do a shout out to one of my local mayors, Robin Jones, who's the mayor of Westport. She's also the head of ROMA, the Rural Ontario Municipal Association. They've started their own consultation. So anybody who's listening out there who's got a suggestion about how we can facilitate more housing in rural areas like Lanark and Leeds-Grenville, shoot an email to your local mayor and ask that your comments not just be considered as part of our government's consultation, but also part of Roma's consultation. Mayor Jones told me last weekend that they just opened it up for comment. They've already received about 250 responses from people with suggestions on doing a rural and northern type plan. And I was just in London yesterday, and I talked to a number of rural developers who said, you know, you can't compare a big city with a small town or a small township in rural Ontario. So we've got to be receptive to creating policies that are not one size fits all. Something that is in downtown Toronto isn't going to work in beautiful Perth. So you've got to have a plan that adjusts to that rural type of housing opportunity. So that's what we're hoping to get from the consultation.
When it comes to municipalities that you mentioned quite a few times, one of the things that they're really concerned about or they would like to see is an updated inclusionary zoning policy. I'm sure you've heard this many times. One of the big ones for the smaller communities is that in order to put a certain type of zoning in place, you have to be listed as being near public transportation. Well, there's none of that around here. So how do they fit into this, or how do you make a change, or will you make a change, your government, so that they can use inclusionary zoning, but more fit for them? You just talked about not having a one size fits all solution.
Yeah, and again, I think we've seen tremendous tremendous change in the last year since 2019. We've seen a lot of housing starts in Ontario last year in 2021. It was we had over 100,000 housing starts in our province, the highest since 1987. You know, in Lanark County, 2021 housing starts was an 84% increase over 2020. There were 880 housing starts in Lanark County. Total starts were the second highest level on record in the county. Rental starts, the same thing, 96% increase in rental starts since 2020, 94 rental starts, the second highest again on record. The highest was in 2018. So you've seen in a relatively short period of time a lot of good numbers, but we know they're not enough, right? The Scotiabank report and my own task force says that 100,000 starts should be more like 150,000 starts to actually deal with our needs. So we've got lots more to do. And I hope that multi-generational conversation about using general density in existing neighborhoods, that we find out how people feel about that. We find out what are the barriers for municipalities trying to find them. The same thing with the rural and northern. We need to remove barriers at the provincial level, at the municipal level. If you go in and pull a permit in Lanark County, and you pull a permit in Leeds Grenville, and then you pull a permit, let's say, in the city of Kingston, the process should be the same, and it's not. It doesn't take the same amount of time. So we need to make sure that municipalities have the tools that they need to get shovels in the ground faster. And in rural Ontario, it's particularly difficult when, you know, you've got some municipalities that are sharing building officials. You've got planning staff that are done by consultants. So we've really got to encourage municipalities to use the programs that I've created over the last 4 years, the Municipal Modernization Fund, the Audit and Accountability Fund, the Streamlining Development Approvals Fund, so that they access those dollars to help their municipal building and permitting departments. The federal government said in the budget they were going to provide municipalities with money. I would hope that whatever they provide is going to connect and fit in with our existing application process. I'd hate to see the federal and provincial governments create two new streams of red tape to access funds that are going to be used for the same purpose. So that's where I'm at. And we're hoping that at the end of the day, we'll see more streamlined development approvals at the municipal level. And we'll see more streamlined commenting by provincial agencies and provincial ministries. So that's going to be the goal.
Two more topics I'd like to cover quickly. I know time is running out here, but when it comes to tiny homes, you talk about evolving and changing. This is certainly something that can help so many different demographics when it comes to accessibility, seniors, first-time home buyers, even renters, creating tiny home communities. We've seen it happen in other places. I do believe it was Alberta where there was one for homeless vets, but it's been happening across the states where they have got shared amenities that they use and in these tiny home communities, and then they have their own units that they go back to, almost like a condo building without that isn't stacked on one another, but certainly side by each, and they have these beautiful tiny homes there. Where are you with that? We know that a lot of municipalities are making moves to make this happen. We've seen it in Perth where they can have one on a property, and they can even have a granny suite in there too. So you have three different dwellings on one particular lot. But when it comes to the province, what do you see when you look out at the future of tiny homes?
Yeah, so we recognize that tiny homes was a topic that was being discussed across the province. So we created a number of innovation guides to help people with these emerging topics. And we actually created a tiny home guide if someone is interested in building or buying a tiny home. And it goes through all the different steps. It goes through the building code, the permits and inspections, the requirements, the municipal rules, whether it be an urban or suburban or rural location. And we've even went down to look at the steps and the checklist that someone would need, whether they're either going to build or buy one. You know, having that as a topic created an opportunity. We found out that there was some ambiguity in the legislation. There were some building inspectors who weren't allowing a tiny home that was being built in one location to be placed in another location. And we consulted on it. And we actually changed the regulations as of January 1st, so that if you build in one area and it's inspected by that building official, that once it gets moved to another location, that the approval in the building jurisdiction is being accepted by the jurisdiction that's being placed in. And it's actually something that came right out of Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville. It was a problem that had been identified with some building officials in our area, and we moved very quickly to fast track changes to the code to make these happen. So, you know, I think there are a number of groups out there that also are tiny home advocates. The group that you talked about in Alberta, I was well aware of. It's the Homes for Heroes Foundation. We actually partnered with them for a tiny home site in Kingston. We announced it on November 10th, just before Remembrance Day last year, where we've provided them with property, we meaning the government, and provided the municipality with some financial resources. So this tiny home village on about an acre of property, going to be 25 units, providing those veterans, those homeless vets with a place to live, wraparound services, and a program that gets them out of homelessness and out of the tiny home in 2 years. So it's a transitional home. It's not their permanent residence, but it's a residence to create an opportunity for someone who's homeless or at risk of being homeless. And it sets them on a path for that homeless veteran for a path to success. And the best thing, Bob, was that day that the head of Homes for Heroes said that our jurisdiction was the best jurisdiction to deal with, that they've got our approvals faster than any other place that they've either even worked or even contemplated having a tiny home village. And that really spoke to me and spoke to Premier Ford as well as something that we wear as a badge of honor, that we were able to give a hand up to these vets. So if anyone is interested, you know, just Google the fact that we've got this tiny home guide in Ontario. It's a very good document, and it's provided a lot of clarity for people who are interested in that model of home ownership.
And certainly that project that you speak of, many other ministries can take a look at that. And I'm no doubt about it. People from clear across the country are going to be watching with great interest as that unfolds, because there are so many different uses for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just the villages in Alberta. You know, my son's a police officer in Edmonton, so I was well aware of the one in Edmonton that just opened. The original unit was in Calgary, but they were just the foundation's a blessing to deal with. And we've got a lot of vets in Eastern Ontario, and I'm hoping that the village in Kingston can be duplicated in other communities.
With, and this is the last thing I wanted to ask you about today, sir. you mentioned there's so many different rental starts that are happening, buildings popping up everywhere. I'm in Smiths Falls, and I can think of six right off the bat. When it comes to these units, they're absolutely beautiful, but $1,800 to $2,100 a month rent is a little bit out there. We do know, of course, there is a geared to income building that is being built in Smiths Falls. It's a partnership between Lanark County, Carebridge, and Smiths Falls. So that one aside, the other ones, oh my goodness, there are people who are trying very, very hard to come up with money to pay the rent in those places. Can we see some sort of rent control in the future that would help people get into a nice quality home where they could rent affordably for perhaps years to come?
Yeah, so you know, our government made a campaign promise in 2018 that we're going to protect rent control for existing tenants, and we delivered on that. You know, by lifting the rent control exemption on new builds, that's really what's created an environment where, like in Lanark County, we've seen record purpose-built rental. Since we made that change, we've seen purpose-built rental construction in the province like we haven't seen in 30 years. So I'm reluctant to go back to the total rent control situation that would stop all of these buildings from being built. I think the better path forward is to continue to work with our federal colleagues. We believe, based on Ontario's core housing need, that we're being shortchanged by the federal government about $490 million. And the numbers bear it out. It's not just me pulling a number out of the air. These are actual factual numbers that we've presented to the government. No one we've presented the information to has denied our claim that we are the highest core housing need in Canada. I think the numbers in our housing supply task force say that. But what we need to do is we need to work better with municipalities if we received our fair share from the feds. But we also did something as part of More Homes for Everyone, and that's to provide certainty for people that are in community housing. And that's been a number of providers that are going to be ending their mortgage agreements. So we needed to provide regulations and certainty for them. I toured a co-op yesterday in London that was very impressed that we did this. And to put it in perspective, Bob, we had 100,000 housing starts last year, the highest since 87. This regulation that we've put forward protects 500,000 Ontarians that live in 250,000 community housing projects in Ontario. So it's big stuff, and it provides that certainty. What we need to now do is build upon some of the proclamations from our federal colleagues to be able to get extra dollars that we can use to provide those subsidies so that new purpose-built rental can provide a safe and affordable opportunity for people. And that's really what those rent supplement programs do. It's what places like I visited yesterday with Co-op Housing provides, both a market rent for those that can afford it, but also a rent geared to income opportunity if they need it. And in some cases, the building I toured yesterday, there were people who have lived there 30 years and their circumstances have changed, right? They might have had a young family and now they're an empty nester, or they might have, their employment might have changed. So you need to have an environment that works with them. And I'm proud that we were the first province or territory in Canada that signed on to this portable housing benefit. And I think the certainty that I've provided in community housing allows us now to build upon the success of things like the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit. So there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that we've done, but I want to make sure people realize there's lots more that we need to do. So we need to have that cooperation at all three levels of government if we're going to continue providing successful housing policy like we've done the last 4 years.
And I'm sure we're going to hear some new possibilities in the coming weeks, because there is an election coming up, and we will be hearing promises not only from your party, but the others as well. So certainly an interesting time for affordable housing, that issue right now. Minister Clark, thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to speak with us today. Were there any final words you wanted to leave our listeners with?
No, I just want to, again, thank Lake 88. And I want to thank the constituents of Leeds, Granville, and also Lanark County for all the work that they've done over the last 2 years. This has been an unprecedented situation. I know I overuse that word, but we've all really pulled together. And, you know, I think better times are ahead. Our focus is going to be to rebuild the economy, and we need to get shovels in the ground and build more housing of all types, of all shapes, and of all sizes. So thanks for your ongoing interest, Bob, and just all the best to you.
A frequently heard voice here on Lake 88, Leeds, Granville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes MPP, Steve Clark, who is also the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing for the Province of Ontario. That's going to do it for Affordable Housing Week. If you'd like to listen to any of these interviews, please check them out on our website, lanarkleedstoday.ca. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon and a great weekend.